very much. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Fourteenth chapter. I have a message for you today from God. I have a testimony for you today from God. Before I get into the message, I want to give you that testimony. You know, God works in mysterious ways and His wonders to perform. How many knows that? How many really knows that? His timing is absolutely impeccable. I was going to say something like suspendous, something like that. But I couldn't spell it, so... You all remember Brother Will and Sister Anna Robinson? They live in Florida. They come and sit right here when they're able to come up here. Sister Lisa, can you put their picture up on the screen so everybody will know? They're from Minnesota, or Michigan. No, Minnesota. So that's one of the pictures. But you'll kind of recognize them, hopefully, underneath their coats and hats. They are both teachers. And Brother Will, one of these days, I'm going to give him to give his testimony. They had to go back because they're going to, their plans are to go back, teach one more year in Florida. They live and teach in Briar County. Anybody ever heard of Briar County? They wasn't at the school where the shooting was, but they're in that same county. And they feel they're going to teach one more school year, and then they're planning on moving to Siloam Springs. He is one of the most outstanding teachers that is able to grasp things that I've ever met. And much like you, I love to be around them, and I love to be around you, and I'm not just saying that. But occasionally, the Lord speaks to my heart, and I'll send different ones a text, send them a picture, send them a scripture. And to make a long story short, this was it Thursday morning, hon? I had went to the restaurant, and I was enjoying my coffee while I was waiting on Sister Diane to catch up with me. And I was sitting there and thinking, and I was going through some scriptures and things, and I thought, well, I'm going to send this particular scripture to Chris and Brian, our boys, and I just felt compelled to send it to Brother Will. And keep in mind, God's timing is impeccable. And so I sent that scripture to them and just picked out a scripture that spoke to my heart, sent it to them. And that scripture was about a rock. Nobody's in any hurry today, are you? I had it, but I lost it. Y'all don't do stuff like that, do you? Bear with me. I got it right here. It is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2. And it was a picture of the mountains, okay? Beautiful mountains, and it says, "There is no rock like our God." There is no rock like our God. So I sent that to Brother Will and Sister Anna and our boys, and had just shared that testimony with them, "There is no rock," just to encourage them and lift them up. And about 30, 40 minutes later, something like that, I receive an email, a text. She said, "I'm going to send you a story. I need you to read this story." And I was busy studying, and you know, sometimes you don't get there as quickly as you should. But when she texted me, said, "You need to read this, I'm going to send it to you," I thought I better stop and read it. So here is what she put. If you could put that other picture up, Sister Lisa. Well, that looks like an Arkansas rock, right? Or an Arkansas tumbleweed that doesn't tumble. Here's what Sister Anna put. While we were in Arkansas, we started searching for a house, which is part of getting our ducks in a row, and that's a private joke between us and them of I'm always trying to get stuff together and get my ducks in a row. We were looking at a new construction in a subdivision here in Siloam Springs, and we stumbled across an unfinished new construction that only had drywall up and tile in the bathroom, and it was at the end of a cul-de-sac, and about ground the trees and the hills. The ravine was so pretty that we fell in love with it, especially me. And it was hadn't been completely built yet, so they was able to go inside and look at it check it out, and they really loved it. But it said, but before we left for Florida, we went by and looked at the house one more time. While they was there, Will noticed a big rock in the front yard, and he picked up that big rock, took that sucker all the way back to Florida. He put it in his car to take home with us as a type of claiming it, the house. And then fast forward into this morning before you text us, unbeknownst to me, they live in a high-rise condo, Will had gone downstairs to the garage, and we live on the third floor. He decided to put some things away and clean up the rock. Had no idea this had happened during, this was happening during when I sent the text. That there's a moral to this story. Stay with me, okay? It ain't about me, it's about God. The rock was all dusty, dirty from the construction site that we had brought back from Arkansas, but he left it in the garage. And at that point, he was not aware of your text and left the rock downstairs, though he'd cleaned it up. It was while he was downstairs cleaning the rock that you sent the text from 1 Samuel chapter 2 and two pictures of the rock. When Will came back upstairs, the first thing I did was share with him the text. He did not say one thing to me about it, about cleaning the rock while he was downstairs. He went back downstairs without really saying much to me, which I thought was strange. And when he returned, he told me to look outside the door of the apartment, and there was our rock that he had just cleaned before he even knew about your text you had sent. Needless to say, we were both floored by God's timing and message. I had even forgotten about the rock that we had claimed from Siloam Springs that we had brought back home with us. The picture of the rock I text you is evidence of God's hand in all of our lives. And she goes on and says some more. I just wanted to tell you that if you'll stay sensitive to the Spirit of God, He will nudge you on what to do, what to say, to encourage someone. I told you that to tell you that it's not about me, it's about God. Are you with me? As I sat at my desk at home and was reading that story, I just began to bawl. I was overwhelmed with emotions of how good God was and how He brings things together. And I want you to know the same God that delivered this message and took this message, the same God that loves you and cares for you no matter what. There's a message for you today in this place. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, there is a hand that's in your midst. Can I just share some intimate things with you about God and me? As I was sitting there at my desk, Brother Ronnie, and I was just bawling, God, I am so unworthy. And I feel that. I don't mean this in any disrespect or in any negative way in any way. I'm just going to tell you that we need to stay sensitive to God. And as I was just really having fellowship with God, thanking God how awesome I was, that He was using me. Come on, I told you I was going to be honest with you. God, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm humbled. I really, you know, wasn't me, but I was humbled by what God did. You know what came to me? If I could just say, you know what God spoke to me? It's all right, son. I used a donkey before. I thought, wow. Doesn't He know how to put things in perspective? And then, Brother Paul, I really was humbled that God used another donkey to send a message. not Democrat, though. I'm a Republican donkey, in case you didn't know. But I thought how awesome it was. Of all the pictures that I could come up with, of all the things that I could have sent scriptures about, I don't know how many miles it is between here and Florida, but God chose to put some things together to encourage, to uplift, and timing is impeccable. Brother Hewitt, after church, after I preach, will you tell me what that word means? Sounds good, so I'll just go ahead and use it. You guys need to lighten up. We're on Sunday morning. We're first part of August. School's getting ready to start. You kids ought to be totally excited about going back to school. Parents are totally excited. Brother Aaron showed us that. I mean, he's ecstatic. But it doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter how old you are. You young people going back to school, God is with you. There is a hand that's watching over you. And that hand is apparent. I'll try my best, as already warned, not to give you the whole load today. So I'll try my best to keep it short and sweet. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Matthew, I just want to share that with you. Maybe that was for nobody but me, but thank you for letting me be me and sharing that with you this morning. But I am so thankful and grateful for the things of God, because He has plans for you. He has total plans for you. Matthew chapter 14. You all know this story very, very well. So let's go with the 29th verse of chapter 14. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when he had come into the ship, the wind ceased. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. How awesome it is in the midst of our storm that the hand of God is with us. He is around us. He is before us. He is over us. And he has his hand upon our shoulder. I want to tell you today, and I feel specifically there is more than one person. There's probably several people here today that you have felt like that you was smack dab in the middle of your storm. When you're in the middle of the storm, there is sometimes that storm is so fierce that it is so overwhelming that when Jesus comes and stretch out his hand and to rescue you, to touch you, you don't even recognize it. You're so overwhelmed that all that you can see is the trouble around you. How many am I preaching to this morning? I've been by the bedside of those that have taken their last breath and their family was caught off guard. And they were so overwhelmed by the circumstance that they couldn't hear Scripture. They couldn't hear Jesus. They couldn't hear the hand of God. I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, I'm being real. I know I've been there. That there's times that our storm is so overwhelming. We do not see and we do not comprehend the hand that is reaching out to us to save us and to pull us up. Somebody's in a storm here today and you're so overwhelmed that you cannot see the hand that has reached out to save you and to pick you up. You're so overwhelmed that all you can see is the trouble around about you, the circumstances all around about you. The spray of the tempest is hitting you in the face. The lightning and thunder has traumatized you to a place and to a portion that you cannot see Jesus walking on the water. You cannot see Jesus in the midst of your storm. You can't see the hand that's reached out and stretched out to save you. But I just come by to tell you today, be enduring the storm that is in your life, because with you and in around you and reaching out towards you is the hand of the Almighty God that is there to save you, there to pick you up, there to bring you back to safety and security and shelter, because there is a hand in the midst that wants to bring you out and wants to touch you. Endure the storm. The Almighty God is ready and willing to reach His hand out to you. And just because you can't see it or identify it does not mean it is not there. Some of you are understanding exactly what I'm talking about today. That the spray of the sea, the saltiness of the water. You have been so overwhelmed that you can almost taste the salt water that's in your mouth because the storm is raging in your life and you are absolutely overwhelmed. But I just come by to tell you today that the hand of Almighty God is stretching out to rescue you in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your life, in the middle of your tempest, in the middle of your waves. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, is walking on top of your storm. He's walking on top of your water. He has come to tell you, O thou of little faith, I am with you. I will not forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. Put your confidence and your trust in me, and I will bring you to safety. I will bring you to a place of security. Paul was in the midst of the storm, so I ask you today to encourage yourself in the Lord and to endure, because your storm is almost over. It doesn't matter the circumstances of your life. It doesn't matter what you're going through or where you feel like you're at. God is still concerned about you. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 44 through 46, We see, and you know the story very well there of Elijah, that it had not rained. He had caused it to stop raining for 7 years, his relationship with God. He had asked God not to let rain for 7 years, and 7 years they had went through a drought. Well, sometimes there's things that happen in our life and we feel like we're going through a 7 year drought. There's times in our life that we feel like that the drought is so strong and it's so hot and dry, and God is moving and God is giving us an answer and God's hand is outstretched. And yet, because we're so overwhelmed and so hot and dry, we're looking for an oasis. We're looking for some relief somewhere, but we can't see the hand of God stretched out in the horizon. Can I tell you today that when Elijah was out there praying on the mountain, he sent his servant to look and he didn't see a thing, and he said, go again, go again. Can I tell you, be persistent. Not only do you need to have some endurance, you need to be persistent. God is always there. He's by your side. He is hearing your earnest prayer. His timing is impeccable. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you have need of. The dry and thirsty desert that you have been experiencing, walking through, an oasis is what you need. You feel like if you don't get it by tomorrow, you're going to die. But I'm here to tell you, be persistent, because there is a hand. I said there is a hand that has his all-seeing eye is looking over you, and his hand is outstretched and he wants to touch you. There's a little cloud out of the sea. All these stories you all know, and you could tell them better than I could. But it's like a man's hand. I just want to emphasize to you today, no matter what you're going through and no matter what you're experiencing, there is a hand, and it is the hand of God. He said, get up, saying to Ahab, prepare your chariot and get down. Don't let the rain stop you. And it came to pass. Somebody say, and it came to pass. Hey, I just come by to tell you that the storm that you're going through is going to pass. I just come by to tell you that the drought that you're going through has come to pass. It's going to pass. If you'll just be faithful and be persistent and be endured with the things that God has, His hand is touching you and reaching out to you, and He's not going to let you be destroyed. And it came to pass. The heavens were black and the clouds, the wind, there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. I just want you to know today that God's hand is upon you. I know what I'm fixing to say here in just a little bit, and I'm about to get ahead of myself and get excited. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Elijah is in the middle of his drought. Perhaps today, here in the first part of August, perhaps you feel like you're in the middle of your drought. You have prayed, you've cried out, you have sought God, and seemingly the heavens are shut up and He does not hear. But I want you to know there are times in our life that the drought it is so hot and so dry that we become spiritually blind, for lack of a better words, because we cannot see the clouds that are forming on the horizon. The answer's on its way, but we can't see it for the haze and the heat waves. How many's ever looked across the plains or looked across the roadway as you was traveling through a place that was hot and dry, and you could see the heat wave and the haze that was there, that was kind of clouding your visibility? I'm here to tell you today that sometimes the heat waves and the haze is hiding your face from what needs to, you need to see. But in the midst of all of that, there is a hand that's rising, that's about to send you a rain, that's going to take care and destroy your drought, that's going to send you an oasis in the middle of your drought, in the middle of your heat wave. God is going to send you an oasis. Can I tell you today that the God that I serve is a miracle working God in the year of 2019. He's still a miracle working God. He can still calm your storm. He can still cause the rains to come. He can still bring an oasis in the midst of your dry places, because God that I serve, His hand is outreached still. Can I just tell you that your day of refreshing is almost here? I said, your day of refreshing is almost here. Your day of reprieve is almost here. As I went through the scriptures and was studying on this, I believe that there is more than one application that God is speaking to hearts and lives here. Some of you are in a storm. Some of you are in a drought. Some of you are being chased by the enemy, and it seems like no matter how hard you try, you're being hounded by the enemy. The pressure that you feel on your job, the pressure that you feel by temptation, the pressure that you feel that's coming your way, you pray, you seek God, and it seems like that nothing that you say, no answer is coming. But I want you to know, regardless of the enemy's hounding, there is a hand that's outstretched towards you to keep you safe and to keep you from falling. There is a God in heaven above that cares about you and desires for you to be victorious. He desires for you to thrive in this walk with Him, not just barely survive. Some of you today have just went through the survival mode, and that seems like that's all you can do is just survive. But hey, I come by to tell you today that the God that I serve is not a God that just will get you to survive, but He is a God that wants you to thrive. He desires for you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He desires for you to get up on Sunday morning and can't wait to get into the house of God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I said, God desires for you to have such a love for Him that you get up on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and you can't wait to get back to the house of God. Well, glory. Exodus chapter 14, verses 24 through 25. And now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down in the armies of the Egyptians through the pillar of the cloud, the fire in the cloud, and He troubled the army of the Egyptians. I don't know, but I visualize God's people in this passage of Scripture. God was protecting them by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, but yet they was so distressed that they could not see the hand of God. All I can see is the dust from the Egyptians' army and the chariot wheels out there in the desert coming our way at a breakneck speed. That's all I can see. I can't see the hand of God. I can't see the cloud that's covering me from the heat of the day. I can't see the fire by night. You know, sometimes God is so obvious, we look over the obvious and we forget what He's really doing. God just took His hand and reached down and parted the clouds. And He seen the Egyptians as they was moving into territory that was not theirs to move in. Glory. Did you hear what I said? God prepared a dry seabed for His people, not the enemy. And because of our negligence, sometimes we have allowed the enemy to encroach our territory that is not theirs to take over. And we have allowed them to come in behind us. We've allowed them to just push their way through. But I'm here to tell you, God's prepared a way for you, and it ain't for your enemy to tread upon. God's prepared a place for you, and it ain't for the enemy to intrude upon. God has a place for you, and He is taking you to His victory. So he just reached down, separated the clouds and the fire. He looked down upon the Egyptians that was getting after the children of Israel with everything within them. And the Bible says that he took off their chariot wheels in the midst of the river. Can I tell you today that it had to be the hand of God that reached down in the middle of a dry seabed to an army that was without number, basically. And God began to take their chariot wheels off. There was a big nut on there. He didn't need a crescent wrench or any kind of special tool. The hand of God was upon them and was against them because it was the enemy of His people. I just come by to tell you today, church, that the God that I serve is not disconnected with your life. The God that I serve is not disconnected with your fights and your troubles and your trials. The God that I serve is very much aware of the temptation that the devil throws your way. But the God that I serve stands in the middle and He's separating you from your enemy, and He's going to bring them to naught. He's going to defeat them and destroy them. You're like the children of Israel when Egypt's army was hot on your trail. As the dogs are nipping at your heels, this is your situation. You feel like the enemy is like dogs that's nipping at your heels, and you're about to drown, and you feel the wind, and you feel of the whirling sword that's over your head. The clattering of the approaching army is deafening, and you're frightened out of your wits. It's hard to see the hand of God in your present condition, but I just come by to tell you, though the enemy taunts you, they will vanish right before your eyes, because the hand of God is in the midst. Is anybody enjoying this as much as I am preaching it? I'm here to tell you that the hand of God is in your midst. Though the enemy may taunt you, you're going to witness that right before your eyes, they're going to vanish from your sight. And the Bible tells us in that same passage of Scripture that they seen their enemy no more. Nobody say no more. No more. You ready for this one? What time is it? Oh my, it's still early. God's speaking to somebody through this one again. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 22 and 23, and it came to pass while my glory passed by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand. Not that he's going to totally remove it. It's there. He said, but I will take away my hand and thou will see my back parts, but my face you will not see. I just come by to tell you today that Moses was getting a brand new assignment. I just come by to tell you today that God's given somebody a brand new assignment. I just come by to tell you today that somebody may not realize it, but you are in the middle of your transition. I don't know if you realize it or not, but God's fixing to take you to a brand new level. You're scared to death in your present state to take another step. You've gotten your eyes closed, but you still really trust in Him, but you just don't know what to expect. But I just want to tell you, there is a hand that is there to protect you and to make your vision and your mission clear. I said, there is a hand that is there to protect you and to make your mission and your vision clear. You are in transition. You are getting your new assignment. God is in the middle of your stuff, and regardless of whether you recognize it or not, the hand of Almighty God is there to protect you, to guide you, direct you, and let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, He is confirming the mission that He has for you. Knowing He is God and He will shield you, He will put you in that safe place. And when the time comes, you will see His power and His glory as He passes by, because the hand of God is with you. I want you to listen to me today. No matter what your age is, God's got a position and God's got a place for you. We've heard the messages, we've heard the analogy. If you ain't moving forward, you're moving backward. If you're not moving forward, you're stagnating. All this stuff's happening. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what your age, we need to be moving forward. And there's some of you right now are experiencing a place where God is preparing you for that transition. He's preparing you for that new assignment. He is preparing your life and He will protect you. He will not send you a place where His angels cannot take care of you. There is a hand that is there to protect you. He is God and He's there to shield you. He will put you in a safe place, and when that time comes, you will feel and sense and see His power that is passing by because the hand of God is with you. Can I tell you, your faith has kicked in. Your eyes may be closed, but your faith has kicked in. But a revelation is coming as you receive your next assignment. Somebody say amen. Glory. Some of you ought to be shouting on the heels of glory right now in the church house of God, because God is speaking to some hearts right here today. Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. Here we go. Are you ready? O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter saith the Lord? Behold, the clay is in the potter's hand, as you are in my hand. I don't know who you are or where you're at, but somebody feels totally broken today. You feel like the pieces is too many for you to count. The pieces is too much to come together. Jeremiah himself was feeling a state of brokenness. As he looked across the children of Israel, he seen too many pieces that was broken for God to do anything with. But God come by and visited him and said, as you are in my hand, as the clay is in the potter's hand, I just wanted to come by and tell you today that your brokenness is not without hope. Just come by to tell you today that the brokenness that you feel, God specializes in broken things. Your world that you're trying to deal with and trying to survive is in pieces, but just know that you're still in the hand of God. Perhaps you have been shattered so much that it's hard for you to visualize, and you feel perhaps that you have been totally forsaken. I just want you to know you're in the hands of God. You understand that the potter's house in this day and time that Jeremiah was living in was always at the outskirts of the city, and just outside the window was a place of refuge. That's where they threw the city trash. That's where the potter threw out his stuff that wasn't no good. And perhaps today you feel like that you're worth more like trash than you are a jewel in the hand of God. I just come by to clarify some things with you. You are a jewel in the hand of God. And though the circumstances of your life, you may feel like you're fixing to be thrown out in the pile of refuge, but I just want you to know there is a point of restoration that God has come by here today. There is a hand. And perhaps today you're in such a dilemma that you've heard very few words of what I've said this morning. You just feel like you're about ready to just throw in the towel and give it up. You have experienced such tragedy. You've experienced such loss. You've experienced such storms, and you're so overwhelmed it's hard for you to see that the hand of God is on you today. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano, please, if you and Cammy would. There is a hand. To a potter, that hunk of clay either has to have just the right amount of water for it to be pliable like it should be. And maybe today you feel like that you're either too wet or you're too dry, but regardless of what it is, you're in such a mess. Your life is in such a mess that it's going to be absolutely impossible for anything to put it back together, I just want to encourage you and tell you there is a hand. I just want to remind you one more time that my God specializes in things that are broken. I just want to tell you today, in your broken condition, there's a hand gently being placed on your shoulder. You will experience you and your life being put back together again by the merciful hand of Almighty God. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that He cannot save, neither is ear heavy that He cannot hear." In the middle of Israel's transgressions and sins, God heard. God heard. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 6 and 7, it says, "Humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may lift you up in due time." And He said, "Cast all your cares, all your anxieties on Him, because He does care for you." Aren't you glad that there is a hand that's in our midst? Isaiah 49 verse 14, "And Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." The Spirit of the Lord said in verse 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet God said, I will not forget." Verse 16 said, here it is. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive your revelation? Verse 16, you need to write it down. You need to underline it. You need to read what you need to do. In your Bible, it said, "Behold, I have engraved thee upon the palm of my hand." Glory. Did you hear me, church? It's not my words, it's the word of God. "I have graved thee," or "I have engraved in my hand, the palm of my hands." He said, "Thy walls are continually before me." In other words, He is saying that your life, I have it written down in the palm of my hands, the plans that I have for you. It doesn't matter if you're going through a storm. It doesn't matter if you feel all broken up. It doesn't matter how much the devil's been fighting you. There is a plan that's written in the palm of God's hand. There is a hand in the midst of you. Would you stand with me all over the building today? Can I just tell you, He sees you. He does not forget, because in the palm of His hand, He has purpose of your life. He doesn't forget you, and in His hands is your life details. You're thinking, "Man, I don't even know Him myself." But can I tell you, God does. Your life and your will is in His hands. Will you totally surrender to Him with every head bowed and every eye closed? No one looking around. I just want you to know, regardless of how hopeless you feel, regardless of how broken and tore up you feel, there is a hand. Nothing has slipped by God. Nothing has evaded what God has for you. If you're here today and you fit in one of these situations, I want to invite you to come to the altar. We want to pray for you. There's a God of restoration that's in this place. Hallelujah. I said there's a God of restoration in this place. It may be for healing. It may be for not finances. You may be struggling. You've prayed, asked God, "God, remove this." You can't seemingly get an answer. Child of God, will you come? If you don't have a need, come and pray with these that do. Let compassion fill your heart through the Spirit of God. God's speaking to you as well. There is a hand. No matter what the devil tries to tell you, no matter how much he lies to you, there is a plan.
There is a plan, and it's written and etched in the hand of God. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you, Heavenly Father. You are God. You are in control. I just want you to know right now, the hand of God is in this place. You need to step out and say, God, I'm in your hands. And I accept that in Jesus' name. There is that unseen hand.
There is an unseen hand.
Yeah.
I'm still standing. You wondered how I made it through this storm. I can boast of any special powers. There's no secret, I just held on. I've got blessings I can call my own. Many times I wondered, would I even make it? While I was wondering, I just held on. Oh, and I held on till the storm was over. Answers, but I held on to the
not even see it at this point, but I'm going to take a hold of your hand. I'm going to take a hold of your hand.
Aren't you thankful for the presence and the Spirit of God that's in this place? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you just lift your hands one more time and give Him praise? Lord, I thank you, O God. I worship you and I give you praise. Lord, let us be watching. Let us be watching. Your return is near. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May God bless you and keep you. See you tonight at 6 o'clock, choir practice at 5. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. God bless you.